Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Awin mawa, awin mawa, awin mawa, awin mawa, awin mawa, awin mawa, awin mawa.
nothing happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures
of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Yes, officer?
Clock is 40 miles an hour back there. You know what the speed limit is, you know?
Well, according to that sign right there, it's 40 miles an hour.
Step out of the car, please, sir.
Wait a second. Aren't you Stan's little friend?
Sir, step out of the car, please.
Yeah, you're the one who always plugs up the toilet at our house.
I am a cop, and you will respect my authority.
Yeah, right. You better get back to school, little boy.
Ow!
Get your ass in jail!
Ow! Hey, what the hell are you doing? You can't do that! Ow! 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 Ow!
Respect my authority! Sorry about that. That wasn't the one I thought it was, but... Anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with King Shazuz the Terrible, the Ruthless, the Ominous. I rule with an iron fist.
That's a really made of jello.
Sure did get quiet around here. I'm hearing crickets. Oh,
how
wow.
How you doing this week, brother?
Yeah, pretty good. You wanted to talk about respect, as a matter of fact.
I did, you know. Respect for fellow human being, you know.
Well, like, that's something that we need a lot of these days, man. That would bring a lot of peace across the land if people just learn how to respect each other's beliefs and disagreements and all that kind of stuff, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, we all have our differences. That's fair enough, you know. But to go out of your way to hurt another for personal gain or just for your own pettiness, you know, I mean, for lack of a better word, it's pathetic. You know, I mean, we have to learn to coexist and to love one another and to be there for each other. And, you know, it's a real problem that the world faces today. That, you know, I mean, you've got people like us, you know, and we're here, we try to do our best and to preach, you know, the message of peace and love, but then yet there's still those people out there who, no matter what, just seem to falter away from that and just completely unable to, be compassionate for their fellow human beings, you know?
Yeah, and therein lies one of the things that frustrates me the most is the fact that here we are. I'm 100% in belief that we have all the answers we need to fix every problem on this planet. The problem being that there's folks out there that just don't want every problem fixed on this planet. And so when I see things like, I put a video in the chat room over here at Shaziz Radio and on Awake Radio, y'all check out, it's that tractor beam magnet. And little things like that, man, they're all over the place. There's brilliant minds everywhere. I mean, instead of sitting around disrespecting each other, why can't we take all these pieces of the puzzle and fix the world the same problem that you're talking about? You know, these folks out here that don't like each other because, you know, the different religions or whatever, you know. I'm a Christian, and I don't hate people because I don't agree with their views or anything like that. Matter of fact, my belief teaches me not to hate people, you know, to love people.
Exactly. I mean, race, color, creed, you know, I mean, none of that really has a bearing on who a person is at the end of the day, does it? I mean,
should add to you, that nationality,
yeah,
the amount of
anything,
money they earn, how much
about
money their family used,
the
to
color
have
of their eyes, none of it matters. None of it matters. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, let's look at and just bear with me while I go through this, because you know, you can have, you know, Muslims. Okay, some of them are terrorists. Some of them aren't. A lot of them aren't. In fact, most of them freaking aren't. Right, but what's the stereotype?
Yeah, well,
you know, straight off the bat. So, I don't see why we need to look at people like that. I don't understand why, you know, just because someone's different in some way, or you know, you and this is more what I mean, is that people who feel inferior to another person, so they feel as if they have to attack them.
Well, you know, and there's those individuals out there who claim to be the most tolerant that are the least tolerant, and they, you know, pretty much basically perpetuate the hate and racism and all that kind of stuff, you know. Here in America, for example, we supposedly have our first black president, okay? And, of course, he hasn't really done a whole lot to help the black community out. But either way, here we go. We got Commander-in-Chief that's supposed to be the first black president. We have Eric Holder, who's a black man up in there helping out, and there's all kinds of black congressmen and senators and all that kind of stuff. And so the racial divide, in my eyes, isn't as far apart as it used to be back in the day. You know, there, if a man can be elevated to the status of commander-in-chief or senator or congressman or secretary of state or whatever, you know, then that tells me that we've come a long way. But yet, no matter what happens in society, the only thing that ever gets pushed out there as far as the mainstream media is how much the white folks hate the black man or vice versa or whatever, you know.
Stigma has never gone away, has it?
No, it's a continuous thorn in the side of every American. I can tell you that just about the majority of everybody that I've ever met, they're not hateful racist. You know, some of them have been raised around racist people and might slip out a joke or two, you know, that they feel is a joke that other folks would find offensive. But either way, you know, they were raised around people like that, that, you know, every one of them has a little bit of that, you know, tinge to them, if you know what I'm saying. But for the majority of the people out there, I don't see any white man that wouldn't save a black man that was in danger off the side of the road, wouldn't go to give him a hand or try to rescue him or something like that, because at the end of the day, humanity kicks in. That's a human being laying there in that ditch, you know? That's not...
I don't care if you're a leper.
Yeah. And the doctors, you know, and the nurses and all of them, they're not looking at your skin color to see whether or not they want to help you out or not. Otherwise, if we were all racist at these liberal groups out there or whatever, you know, these folks that are supposedly, you know, ones concerned for everybody, if we are all racist like that, there would be black men piled up at the dead at the door, and yellow men and red men, and, you know, you name it, all the way down
too.
The line. White, too.
That's but right, Tom. Yep.
It's not like that. It's just to me, it's a divide and conquer thing. It's an evilness that just won't go away. You know, if you can keep everyone at each other's throat and arguing over petty differences or colors or political views or what was that you said earlier, Thomas?
You
what, oh yeah, how much money you have?
Yeah, there
oh,
you go.
Oh, they have more money than you, so I gotta hate them.
Yeah,
they got blue eyes and I got brown eyes.
Well, yeah. If you can keep
that's literally what it comes down to, though, isn't it? Like, yeah. You know, he's got blue eyes, I got brown eyes. I have to hate him.
If you can keep everybody fighting amongst each other, you can get by with murder, literally. And then that's what they do.
This is the real problem, though. It's not hard to bring about this mentality when you're feeding them on a constant, steady dose of essentially a watered down version of it, so they never notice how much they're being basically programmed to feed, to thrive, and enjoy other people's discomfort and pain. I mean, have you thought really about sitcoms? Those are the situation comedies, like Disney has a bunch of, you know, kid-related ones. Married with Children was, you know, one that back in, I guess, like the 90s. You've got all these different things, and they're all hinging upon one major thing or another. There are two things. Either someone's discomfort, or someone, someone's shortcomings.
Yeah, their jokes are all mockeries, aren't they?
Making fun of their discomfort or their lack of ability.
Well, and when you get people used to joking about it, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, like the old Pollock jokes that they used to tell back in the day, you know, and all that kind of stuff. When you get people used to thinking that's funny, you know, and they'll tell a joke, oh, well, it's just a joke. No, seriously, it's not just a joke. It's hurtful to somebody, you know. I have Polish friends. I got friends
This is the thing, though. Even on the sitcoms, you're doing this to imaginary people, so, oh, it's okay. But you're conditioning the mind of the people who are watching this, whether it be children or adults, to find those more, you know, violent and direct things to people. Okay, and what have we done? We've bridged the gap now from sitcom mentality to reality TV mentality. And we keep pushing the uncomfortable zone for the people that we're laughing at further and further until eventually we're going to have the thing that they were portraying in the movie Idiocracy. It's just going to be a reality TV show where, you know, all you see is this guy getting hit in the balls over and over and over again, you know, and the painful, you know, look he gets because he's getting hurt and people laughing about it.
Shows
like that already exist. Did you miss the movie called Jackass?
Yes, but that's not shown on national television on like ABC, CBS, NBC.
But it will be halfway there, isn't it? You know, like yeah, it's a prelude. It's already in play, isn't
exactly.
it? So you know,
well, one
people
thing.
laugh at that stupidity. Like there was one very specific thing I remember seeing. You know.
It could be highbrow, but you can't. That's just hiding the fact that you're still treating people and teaching people to treat each other like garbage.
Exactly.
And not to feel bad for them, but to feel a completely opposite thing of
that's
feeling
the nail on the head of what I'm
joy
about.
Out.
Yep.
So it's not even. A psychopathy, it's literally like, you know, something even worse, because true psychopathy, you feel nothing. So unless there's something to gain out of it, you won't go out of your way to hurt somebody. But these people have been given something to gain out of it now, no matter what. And it's something you can never get enough of. Mm-hmm. Enjoyment.
Well,
you know?
One thing
that release of endorphin or dopamine, you know?
One thing. Chemical.
Yeah, and so how far will they go, and how bad will they hurt that other person to get
that chemical
thing?
Rush.
It's just a chemical rush.
It's a very important one to well-being of the human mind, and the brain seeks it and wants it. So once you get into that mindset of being, you know, a ridiculer and you know,
and getting that rush from it instead of getting that rush from something else, like creating something new or helping somebody, you know.
Let me put this out there. One thing, though, and I don't want to go off on a tangent about video games, but people in the world have been desensitized to everything from murder to you name it. And even some video games glamorize rape and mugging and all that kind of stuff. But in the old days, it was like little RPG games or something like that, and then it went up to a little bit better graphics like Mario Brothers and all that kind of stuff. But the graphics, it seems like every year get better and better to where they become so much more realistic, you know, blood guts wise and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, at one point it was like killing monsters or zombies. And monsters or zombies, you know, I don't have a problem with people running around blasting monsters or zombies. But then when you turn around and you start depicting a human being, that's a whole different level to me. It's crossing the line. But the slow I can't even say the word,
desensitization.
Yeah. Slowly being desensitized to, you know, and this also goes back to, like, during World War One, whenever they used to practice shooting on just a round target, a bullseye target. Well, when folks came back from the war, they found out that a lot of the soldiers, and most of them for that fact, had just as many bullets as they did when they left. They never fired the rifle, not once. And that's because they were raised in
period. They did, they missed.
Yeah.
They literally caught them missing on purpose because they knew that was another human being. So they had to put targets together that looked more like actual people.
Yeah,
to get them desensitized to shooting that person.
That's where the police nowadays, whenever you see the police out there, you got to know that they were trained on black silhouettes. Because, you know, if you're a police officer, you only got like so much time to decide whether to shoot or not shoot. And so they would train people on black silhouettes so that people wouldn't hesitate to fire at another target. When you look at a potential suspect that might be a danger or whatever, you're not going to question, you're not going to think about, all you're going to see is that black silhouette standing there. You're not going to see.
And now they have those that have basically women holding babies and stuff like that.
Yeah. Granny with a knife or a shotgun or whatever, you know. But
and that's actual fact. That is what they are using now as target practice, isn't it?
To desensitize them from basically disobeying orders whenever they know it's wrong.
Baby and pistol in the other. Yeah.
Well,
I've seen them where they're not holding a pistol at all. They're just literally holding a baby leaning back, you know.
This is definitely a scary sign of the times, man. And, you know, I talk about radio all the time, about not cursing on the radio and stuff like that. But if you go back a few years, man, if you even said the D word on radio, FCC would be in there and they'd shut you down so fast it'd make your head spin. They'd throw you in jail, confiscate your equipment, and fine you out the eyeball. And if you've listened in the last at least 5 years or more, they're throwing down the B word and just all kinds of stuff that before it wouldn't have been said. Now I'm not into censorship, but you gotta draw a line somewhere in that sand to where it is that you're not going to cross. Otherwise, all of society, this is okay, you know. Kids going around,
well, you know, and this is the problem though. If you put a law out there to stop people from doing something, people have to step over the line. There are people out there that feel the need to step over that line.
Well, I understand that.
The best way to stop people from doing something you don't want them doing is stop, you know, being a part of it. You know, if you find out that there's a radio show on and you like it, and then they start, you know, talking about terrible things that you don't want to, you don't want them talking about, then stop listening to them.
I understand that.
Tell your friends.
See, there's a huge hypocrisy. There's a huge hypocrisy to what's going on in this world. Like the media, it's okay for the media to depict violence that you know, children may end up seeing. All right, it's okay for the video game industries to put out, even though they'll put a rating on there, but parents aren't paying attention to ratings before they're buying their kids these video games about going around shooting people and stuff like that. But God forbid a little kid puts his fingers in the shape of a gun or chews his bread into a shape of a gun in school. Now he's a criminal, you know? You see what I'm saying? They're not leading by example.
Everyone loses their mind.
Yeah. They're not leading by example whenever they're going to jail this little kid. They've actually hauled little kids off to jail. They had the cops come up and get them, and then they take them to the jailhouse, and then their parents come pick them up from there. You know, and now this little kid's got not only traumatized from being hauled out in front of all of his friends and classmates because he put his finger in the shape of a gun. One kid was talking about shooting a dinosaur, you know. And, you know, but that's the kind of kind of hypocrisy that you got going on. Mainstream videos and medias and stuff like that. It's even the alternative media is at fault to some extent with that kind of stuff. You know, I'm into the First Amendment. Everybody should have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, all that kind of stuff, you know. But there's got to be a responsibility factor in there on a personal level that has to be maintained. Otherwise, the world becomes desensitized.
Well, it needs to start from the top and work its way down.
Yeah.
That means that basically people using inside information of new laws that are going to affect trade, and they get caught actually trading on the stock market and making money off it, should be jailed, just like Martha Stewart was whenever she did it, you know.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you're a politician. You don't get to do that either. Nobody gets to do it.
It's kind of like It's kind of like the parent.
None or all, man. None or all.
It's kind of like the parent sitting around drinking liquor and smoking in front of their kids and telling their kids, don't you let me catch you drinking or smoking, you know. Take your drinking and smoking on out in the back room. If that's something you seriously don't want your kids to be doing, don't do it in front of them. But the government
brings up the idea too of that whole situation where those people are going in with butcher knives and guns and, you know, gunning up a place where there are kids at it, like they've done it in schools too, but you know, like at the primary schools, that's what I'm thinking of, and whatnot, and they're wanting to, you know, bring an armed security guard to protect them, and they're like, no, we'll just put a gun-free zone around it.
Yeah,
that'll protect them.
Yeah, that'll work.
Well, if that's going to work to protect these kids, then let's put a gun-free zone around the president. Then none of the Secret Service get to have guns either. If you're not willing to do it, then you shouldn't be making some. You know, little children have to do it too.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, there's a guy out there.
He's a full-grown man. He's already had plenty of life to live. If he gets shot and killed, he's got a lot less to lose than that 2 or 3 year old that's, you know, at primary school or at daycare, you know.
Yeah.
There's a guy out there that I subscribe to on YouTube. His big theme on his YouTube channel is Common Sense. I can't remember the YouTube channel. I'll have to get that link for you guys later. But either way, that's what we're lacking in this world is common sense. The governments of the world are going around and they're bombing and fighting each other, you know, and this is being advertised on the news, and little kids are hearing about battle, and then they, you know, like whenever I was a kid, I wanted to grow up and be a cowboy or an Indian or something like that, you know, or then it turned into be you want to be a soldier and stuff like that. Little kids ain't even got a clue what it means to really seriously be a soldier, what it means to actually take.
No, that's why every generation has another war.
Yeah.
You don't get another war before the generation is up, because they all remember what war was like, and they're not going back. They're not falling for that again.
And they don't want their kids involved in that kind of stuff. Who wants to send their kid off to war to kill somebody else's kid and get killed themselves, you know? But It's crazy, you know. All the rules and regulations that apply to the average Joe, they don't apply to the senators and the congressmen and the criminal in chief over here in the U.S.
Yeah, no, you say you don't want to go to war, and you know there's a draft on. They'll show the send the MPs out to come and pick you up and haul you off to jail. But,
yeah,
you know, Bush, he was able to just go ahead and walk right into presidency after he went and broke all those rules.
They'll haul you off to jail for not turning in your draft card or going to war, you know? And so you didn't even give somebody the opportunity to choose. Maybe my religious views, which mine do, clearly state thou shalt not kill. Maybe if I couldn't be a good soldier if I go out there, because I'd have to kill somebody, you know. But that, and then,
well, I know somebody that was, they were trying to basically to recruit him, and he shut them down real quick whenever they came to talk to him. He said, "Oh, I don't know if I'd be that great of a soldier. I'm pretty sure I'd probably run." maybe this isn't for you, and they yanked their paper up and left real quick.
Well, maybe everybody should say that. Maybe everybody.
Yeah, literally, everyone should turn around and say, "Actually, I'm pretty sure I'd be a deserter."
But either way, the lack of common sense, and it does start with leadership. If you're going to be a society that's going to choose leadership, then you need to choose your leadership wisely, not just by Democrat versus Republican or Libertarian or whatever, you know. you need to do your research and you need to know exactly who you're pulling that lever for, because once they're in office, you done gave them the go-ahead to represent you. That might be the biggest scumbag in the world.
That's or represent
why,
themselves.
Yeah, that's why I would vote for Congressman Bongwater, because even though he flat out tells me he's going to screw me on taxes, at least he's honest about it. You know, he's not going to tell me, oh, I'm not going to raise it. No, read my lips. No new taxes.
Listen, this is a thing, though, that has to be recognized, and that is there is no left or right. There is no red or blue. There's no Democrat or Republican. There's only one situation we have that you're going whenever you're pulling that lever, and they're all, they should, you should look at them as accordingly. They should all have a label next to them that says Corruption Party, Corruption Party, Corruption Party, Corruption.
Because let's face it, I mean, no matter who you vote in, bad crap's going to keep happening.
Yeah, but here's the problem, guys.
I was going to say, no matter who you vote in, there's only one color to that party, and that's the Green Party.
Here's the problem, guys. The average Joe
here
out there, the average Joe out there is reliant on information in order to make decisions. And if the information is corrupt before you ever even pull that lever, you think you got a choice. So you go out there and you do this, and they stir the pot. It's like the difference between the Chiefs versus the doggone Patriots or something like that, you know, in a football game. They're only rooting for their own team. Some of them have no idea what their entire party has done prior to this. All they know is that, you know, one of the things they heard in there was this particular congressman's going to legalize this or legalize that, and, oh, wow, that's for me, and they'll go vote for that. Never mind the fact that, that even though they may personally be against abortion, that same guy is going to go out and vote for abortion. And so they, instead of going and weighing out all the pros and cons of voting for this individual, they just go by the party. I'm rooting for my team, you know. I got my blue flag, and the other guy's got his red flag, and we'll meet in the middle and fight. And the mainstream media stirs that up all the time. You know, the Democrats are doing this, and the Republicans are trying to steal Granny's Social Security. Until the average Joe gets informed enough to actually go out and listen to alternative media and actually do research on all these supposed elected officials, this corruption's going to run rampant forever, because you can't fix it.
The way I described that, have you ever seen that little political cartoon that has it's basically just a pair of legs sticking out of like a little pyramid, and one leg pant is red and the other leg pant is green, and you hear, you know, from the top, right, left, right, left, on the ground, you see a guy being kicked by one foot and another guy being stepped, and both of them are saying, I'll vote for the other party next time, right?
Yeah.
They just got stepped on. what we need is another party to come up from the other side as the, you know, the non-corrupt party with a swift kick in between the right and the left to end all that, you know? Since we were talking about the ball-kicking guy.
Yeah.
What we need is like
the minority. Can a minority party make it into power?
What we need is like somebody.
Hey, there's the key, isn't it? Can
a
minority
here's the only way that is going to happen, and we have seen this time and time again. The minority party is going to have to disguise itself in those wolf's clothing and slip into the other parties and get into position while all their buddies are. Right, while all their other buddies are doing the same thing from all the different angles, and when they all get in, they think there's going to be a bunch of arguing because you've got a bunch of people from the left, the right, the Democrat, the Republican, the liberals, the conservatives, and it turns out they're all actually a part of the Truth Party that's, you know, the Truth and Transparency Party, and they all go, nope, we all agree, and guess what? We're going to do all these changes that you're really not going to like when you try to come into office next.
Well, that's what the Democrats did to the Republicans, man. There's like John McCain. He's a Democrat.
I was going to say, President, yeah, you got to wear one of these little cameras around your neck all the time.
Yeah.
Just like the police did, that we managed to stop all the corruption and all the police abuse and whatnot whenever they started wearing them. Well, now you got to wear one, too. If you take it off while you're in office, you're breaking the law and you go to jail.
Well, first of all, I'd like to see all the money, period, out of politics, where you aren't going out raising money for your deal. I'd like to see it mandatory that mainstream media...
It's real easy to do that. Stop taxation.
Yeah, but listen.
Using taxation for it.
Listen,
you know? I'd like by donation.
I would like to see it to where it is flat out illegal for you to take any money for any election to get to. I don't even care if it's so much for a sign. Let me finish. I don't even care if it's so much for a doggone sign that you set off to the side of the road. I want it to be a felony for you to take so much as a penny for anything to do with the election. If you're not out there and the mainstream media has to put aside time for every single candidate and an equal amount of time for each and every candidate to say what they got to say that they're going to do for the country, and then everybody vote according to their track record. Because the way it stands right now, heck, the corrupter in chief that's up there right now, he had money coming in from overseas. There was all kinds of companies and corporations out there feeding his pocket.
Which is nothing new. That's been going on for a while.
Yeah, but it's got to stop. It's got to stop because the average Joe doesn't even have a chance to become president. Thomas, you ain't never going to be president unless somehow or another you get filthy, stinking rich and have no skeletons in your closet. Because if you get up there and you decide you're going to do something good, then that's when all the other corrupt criminals come out of the woodwork. You can't vote for this because it's going to take money out of my corporation, so I'm going to have you whacked.
Right, That is why you have to literally slip them in through every angle. So when the time is ripe, all the people of the same party that are of that transparent and uncorrupt party are in office at the same time together.
Well,
if you don't do that, then the corrupt people will basically just ruin the uncorrupted people's choices and decisions. You know.
Well, anytime there's money involved,
they'll shut down the government. Oh my God, no.
Anytime there's money involved in government, you're always going to have corruption. And that brings me back to my thought about, instead of paying these guys $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year for being a senator or congressman, pay them freaking $10 an hour maximum. And if they ain't there, I want them to have to punch a time clock. All right, $10 an hour. You go in, you clock in. When you leave, you clock out. If you don't clock in or out, you're fired. Period. Because that, like the corrupter in chief, heck, the world's collapsing around him, and he's going golfing, he's going vacationing, and everything else. And all the corruptors in chief have vacation. But regardless, how does that look when the corruptor in chief is up there, and they just got through talking about, the media talks about chopping somebody's head off, and this guy is, okay, well, this is a terrible thing that happened, and we can't stand for this, and then 10, 15 minutes later, he's heading towards the golf course. You know? Where's the common sense in that?
I don't say I wouldn't be able to even enjoy that game of golf knowing something like that was going on.
Yeah.
But that's the difference between you and I and them.
Well, they need a time clock.
Dead right, Tom. Like, they can go and play golf, can't they, and not have it bear down on their conscience.
Each and every one of us who's had a job has had to punch a time clock just to get our measly earnings that are raped of taxes every time we even so much as buy a candy bar at the store. And
your income's only there to make you think you're not a slave.
Yeah.
Come on, let's face it. Does your income allow you to grow
that
and better yourself in a great way? No, it doesn't. It allows you to struggle like hell all the way through life.
Yeah, but we have to punch a time clock. If these guys are punching the time clock, we're going to find out.
Hold on a second. Let me clarify what he's talking about, though. The wage slave mentality comes from the fact that you have to work to keep from being thrown in prison.
Well, you have to work to keep your house.
Certain things in life, you'll go to prison. So you are basically a wage slave. These things were not bearing down on you, so that if you decided to work or not, it was completely voluntary, then you're no longer a slave. It has to go to a voluntary system. We have an involuntary force through gunpoint and through the rape rooms we call prisons system right now. That's the problem.
Well, I agree.
It's not voluntary. Nothing's voluntary, you know?
But I agree. But as I said, though, you know, if these guys aren't having to punch a clock, they can just come and go at their leisure and have diplomatic immunity. These guys are getting by with murder, literally. They should have to punch a time clock. If you ain't there, you don't get paid.
Yeah.
Imagine how much money we could save.
Either none or all. None or all, man.
And you know? Then you would be able to weed out the good ones and the bad ones, because the guys who are in it for the money alone to get the payoffs, they wouldn't keep
job. They'll go find another job.
Yeah, they'll go find another job. They'll go work for a corporation. You know, they're not going to work for $10 an hour.
There's a problem though. Whenever you should immediately have a warning flag go up the second you see somebody spending more money to apply for a job than the job is going to pay.
Well, yeah, we all understand that. The average Joe needs to understand that. The average Joe needs to demand that, hey, if you're going to be a senator or congressman and you're going to be working for us, then you're punching the time clock just like we are, because you're no better than us. You're supposed to be up there to represent us. And if there's a reason why you took a lesser paying job, you know, if you yourself are really super qualified and you go out and you put all this on your application, there are literally companies out there who would say you are overqualified for the job and not hire you. So why couldn't the same thing apply to the senators and congressmen? If you're sitting on $600 million and then you're trying to get a $40,000 or $50,000 a year job, well, you got something else going on here. This is out of the goodness of your heart that you're doing this work? I highly doubt it.
If it was, then you would basically do it for free.
Yeah. Hey, I got $600,000. I don't need this. Put the money back towards the community, fix some roads and stuff like that. That'll be my contribution, and I'll get in here and I'll represent the people.
Yeah.
I would vote for
instead
a guy like that.
Instead of hoarding it. That's literally what happens, isn't it?
Yep.
They hoard it, you know, like these, you know, multi-billion dollar, you know, families. Why do you need that much money? Why do you need to hold that much money back from making the world a better place? Why does it have to sit in your back pocket?
Because they don't want to be you, cultists. They don't want.
Exactly.
They don't want to be you.
Exactly.
They don't want to be your version of the paid slave.
Yeah. Well, not just that though. They want to be the one on top, whipping you.
Yeah.
The only way to do that is to be the one with the big bucket loads of money, isn't it?
It's good to be the foreman, because you get to stand around and tell everybody else what to do while you get fat. You know.
Well, that's their problem. That's their biggest problem. You know, my father gave me the greatest piece of advice when it came to managing anybody. And it was, never ask someone to do a job you're not willing to do yourself. And these bastards are not willing to get in there and get their hands dirty, yet they expect you to do it.
Oh, and that goes back to something Thomas said earlier about Bush, dodging the draft. Well, if you're going to be a senator or congressman or even the corruptor-in-chief and you're going to send people into war, you need to be leading the charge.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yep.
And that's the way they used to do it back in the old days.
I was going to say, you need to be the first in every desperate attack, and you need to be the last to retreat in every desperate retreat.
That's right.
And when there's a famine in the land, you better dress the fanciest and laugh the loudest over the smallest meal.
Yep. And, you know, the captain's going down with the ship. That's all I got to say. If you started the war, you're going down. You don't jump off and get in a lifeboat and leave all your people.
Well, I think at this point, the only way we're going to get the point across is to stop voting. And I mean across the land, like literally, they have a presidential election and finally they only got 10 votes.
Yeah. See, now that would be good.
That will wake the world up.
But the problem is you got to, and I think to some extent we are seriously putting a dent in the mainstream media, because alternative media, nobody's watching the mainstream media. Have you seen their ratings lately? They're going down.
And who's it going up though?
Ours.
Exactly.
And
what does that tell you? Who's reporting what the public really wants to know about? You know, is it the mainstream media who's sweeping all of what we talk about under the carpet? Hang on.
Dude, is it who they believe?
Yes, very much so too. Who do they trust?
They don't trust them anymore.
Yeah, they don't trust the news anchor anymore.
Well,
they're people like us, because we're average Joe human beings who have done our research, and we're sitting here going, look, guys, you really need to pay attention, because... Don't pay attention to what's happening in Missouri at the present moment. Maybe let's go have a look at what's happening in Washington and what law they're passing.
Proof positive of what we're talking about is the fact that there was time when the mainstream media wouldn't even remotely touch anything conspiratorial. They wouldn't even, anything that was even remotely anti-government or anti-corruption, they wouldn't even remotely touch it. But now, they're starting to report on things that we hear on the mainstream media, you know, because now they're saying, well, wait a second, people don't want to hear what we've got to say. They're over there listening to mainstream or alternative media, and we're losing our audience.
Of course, they have to do everything they have to keep from being shut down for reporting something that the higher-ups don't want out there either.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Why you've got things like Finding Bigfoot, where they basically just make fun of people who believe in Bigfoot.
Well, they're going to steer it to their own deal. It's kind of like whenever they put those documentaries out there about UFOs and Project Blue Book and all that kind of stuff, you know, where the government was actively researching UFOs, but the government actively denies it as well. So they'll put all this information out there, ancient aliens, and then when they get to a certain point, then you can watch the show actually shift into almost like a debunking mode, which is necessarily coming straight out and debunking it, but putting the question mark in there to make it sound like, you know, what's right, what's wrong, you know, that kind of deal. So by the time they put that, if they put the debunking at the front, and then all the good information at the back, then the people would remember the good information at the back more than they would the debunking, and they would think more critically about the information. However, they do it so they put the good information up front, then they put the question mark at the back so that when you leave watching that documentary, you're left with a question.
The first thing on your mind is a question mark.
Yeah, yep. Does Bigfoot really exist? You know, and now there's the controversy out there. People, somebody really believes Bigfoot exists, and somebody's like, "Oh no, you know, I don't think so. Why haven't they found it?" Whatever.
Says no, you know. So it must be so.
Yeah.
The television tells us what's real. You know.
Well, that guy.
Of course it does. That's why we've got a job.
That guy in that one soundtrack that talks about I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, talking about shutting your TV off and going to the window and yelling. We need a day like that. We need a worldwide I'm mad as hell day and just tell the congressman
and
the senators.
And I'm not going to vote for this job anymore, you know? Mm.
And otherwise, you know,
let's do it for the next presidential election.
New liberals and new conservatives are being born every single day, and whoever has the control of the education system will have the votes in the future. You know, the border crisis going on, I look down there and I see these people down there, and they're desperate, man. Some folks are trying to escape some real serious problems over there in other countries. As opposed to putting our borders wide open and putting in jeopardy of the strength of the United States, we should actually be going over there working actively with the communities in these other nations to help them get these things under control. Like if there's a drug war going on down there, which
they don't want to do that because a lot of these politicians actually were involved in causing that problem.
Oh yeah, and there's the key, but.
They're making money off it still going on, so they sure as heck aren't going to stop it.
On the common sense side of the fence, instead of destroying your own nation, you should be down there trying to help uplift this other one by backing whoever down there is doing the right thing. The police officers who are trying to fight off these drug lords or whatever, you know, backing them up or whatever. But it's not like that. I mean, we Fast and Furious, they sent guns down there so that they could track these guns across the borders, and they dropped the ball on it. They never tracked the guns across the borders. And then they turn around the same guns that they sent across there, turned up killing some of our Border Patrol people, and there you go, man. What'd you do? You just stuck a gun in the hand of a madman, all right? What the heck did you do that for? All these
that's just it, though. It's a madman giving a gun to another madman.
Yeah, well, the average Joe pays the price.
Gotta put a stop to that.
That's the key. The average Joe always pays the price, no matter what happens.
We have a country that does the same thing we do with corporations. We subsidize the losses so they can do whatever they want, and it doesn't cost them anything because it's us that it costs. And then you privatize any profit or any gain they get off it, meaning we never see any value out of this machine that we're basically fueling and keeping it running with our blood and sweat.
Well, the average Joe needs to realize their true potential power. And I've seen this, and it's proof positive that the average Joe actually does have power. It ain't at the voting poll, because votings can be rigged, and they are continuously. I mean, dead people mm-hmm. vote 30 times each, you know. But
I started something called the Rebel Consumer Alliance specifically for that, because all these problems that they're trying to get the government to solve when it comes to companies and corporations, they could be solving them themselves.
Yeah, well,
they just have to network together. But these corporations have been evolving since the general store, continuously learning and developing and becoming more capable of doing what they do, while the consumer has not evolved since then.
Well,
there's not much evolvement that's gone on in the mind of the consumer, and we need an evolution in that area to level the playing field.
We need
the gas thing. Remember the gas, don't buy gas for a day thing?
Well, I was getting to that. The average Joe out there, it works.
The first time they did it, well, no, it worked the first time because it shocked them. After that, they realized all we have to do is wait. They'll have to come back.
What
would work is a revolving boycott, because there are more than one company selling us gasoline. If you target one company and the entire nation stops buying from them and just starts buying from the other companies, you do not have to go back and buy from them again. You have an unlimited amount of time that you can boycott that company. And how long is it before that company collapses because they're not getting enough funds, but they're still having to pay taxes on all those gas pumps? They're still having to pay, any employees that are working there. They still have to maintain a certain level of electricity, even in the places that are closed. When they're open, it's costing them money. I mean, it's not going to take long before they're going to cry uncle. So
well,
you just have to
I
put
agree.
The demand out there. Look, this is what we'll do. This is what you must do to get us to lift it. And then as soon as you're done boycotting against them, let's take the price of gas, right? You got to lower the price of gas 25 cents from the 350 to 325 before we'll come back.
Well, you should write a book.
When they lower it to 325, you pick the next company and you say, okay, you got to come down to $3 or we're not coming back. We don't care how much the other ones raise their prices. We're not coming back to you until you're selling for $3 a gallon. And just keep doing that until it gets down to where the price of gas is so low, one of those companies goes bankrupt. Then we know we've hit the bottom, because they've lied to us for so long, we have no other way of knowing for certain what's the truth.
Well, that's pretty complex, but I'm saying you should write a book, How to Take Back Your Country from the Corporations. Now, the buying power that I'm talking about is plain and simple. The revolving boycott, I have doggone call drop, but either way, I'm going to finish this deal. When you go to the gas pump and gasoline prices are $4 a gallon, and you can't afford $4 a gallon for gas, which is actually cheap compared to something other people in this world have to pay. But whenever you're paying that price, when they jack the gas prices up real high and people can't afford to pay for it, they stop going to the gas prices and the gas prices come back down. So if you did that on a regular basis, if you're not satisfied with the situation and you don't need to fill your tank up, don't go fill your tank up. Only put just what you need to get by on that doggone gas tank. And if you can not go anywhere, just don't go anywhere. I've seen it a million times.
Or find alternative ways to get around. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, it's not this whole system that that I explained was only an example of how it could be done. I mean, you could treat Walgreens and Walmart the same way. Boycott. If the whole country was boycotting Walmart every hour, they'd be losing. The last I looked, it was something like $7.9 million an hour.
Well, out
and that's
here,
because of how much it's costing to still maintain during that hour their facility while they're making no money.
Out here on the internet, there is literally an army of researchers out there, but they're so scattered out. If you could consolidate the army of researchers into one specific area to where somebody could come there and they would get the full disclosure to everything going on, like Walmart, Sam Walton used to own Walmart, it said Made in USA on there. Now, I'm not anti making it in another country. What I am is anti going over to that other country and destroying their infrastructure and polluting their environment because you ain't under the same regulations that you would be if you was over here, and not paying these people the same the same wages that you'd pay people if you were over here. But if you got a company such as Walmart who is selling products, you need to know where those products came from. If they're buying these from slave labor or child labor countries, you need to stop buying from Walmart. And you need to make that known to Walmart. The reason why I'm not purchasing from you is because this particular product that you have on your shelf, there's little children making this and making 50 cents a week off of your profit. Well,
not even making 50 cents a week. I mean, if they could live off of that over there, fine. But they're not just making 50 cents a week. They're beating those children if they don't produce enough.
Well, and there you go, man.
They're hurting people and torturing them and basically enslaving them to get that cheaper wage.
But the knowledge that needs to be put out there for everybody out there, all these researchers out there, and there's thousands of researchers out there that they talk about every single product, every single thing under the sun. Those folks need to come together in one consolidated deal. You know, kind of like there's this website out there. I can't remember this list or whatever, where if you want to go hire a business, then you can type this in and check on what other people have said about that business. You know, kind of like what the Better Business Bureau was supposed to be all about. But either way, if you could go to a certain website and you wanted to research up a candidate that you were getting ready to vote for, it would have all the information, all the pros and cons of what this guy has or hasn't done, and then you would have that kind of information going on. And, you know, of course,
that would be a really good use for the camera idea, where while you're in public office, from the day you're elected in to the day you're booted out and somebody else is elected in, you're on camera. And it's recorded on the cloud. So
you know what?
Go back through and just roll through the video and see what they actually did if you want.
Here's a good idea. When I was at the Geek Group there in Michigan, and anyone who's familiar with the Geek Group will know this, every single square inch of that entire building is under audio and video surveillance that is live streamed straight out onto the web. Why don't we do that for the White House?
That's what needs to be done.
Why don't we do that for the
Senate, governors,
Pentagon, the whole
officers, everything.
Yeah.
You ever heard that phrase, what's good for the goose is good for the gander?
Mm-hmm.
There's cameras.
That doesn't even apply because we are private citizens. They are public servants.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is...
Public and private?
What I'm saying...
Yeah, it's like we're the farmer taking the orders off the goose.
What I'm saying is, have the average Joe walk outside during their day. When you get up in the morning after you had your cup of coffee, as you're driving down the road, count how many cameras are looking at you all the way to and from work. Count how many times that companies are, you know, monitoring your communications and so on and so forth, and then come back and ask yourself the question, why is it that the government can eyeball me 24/7, but if I'm out there filming something in public of a public servant, I can literally go to jail for filming a police officer beating somebody toothless because I'm not supposed to film the cops, but it's all right for that same cop to have a dash cam on me and recording devices, record me without my permission, but if I record anybody out there in the government...
And it's not put anywhere where we can be sure that they haven't doctored it, too.
Yeah. Who's had control of that tape from the time they had it till the time that it gets to court? That's what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So if the people got to be underneath the camera, then the government needs to be under the camera. And if the people have to be under the gun, a.k.a. going to war, then the government needs to be under the gun, a.k.a. go to war. You be out there on the front line, first person in, you lead the charge. And then we'll see how many wars we have whenever their butts on the line instead of your children's butts on the line. That's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
The honor among men, right? Okay. You'll see the average Joe.
What you're saying there, too, mirrors what I said earlier. Civilization, there's not very much, much civilized about civilization, you know?
Well, heck no, it ain't civilized. What are you going to get? As long as you walk the line, you don't step across that line, then you don't go to jail. You don't have to have some guy with a gun come over there and billy club you if necessary, or pepper spray you, and then handcuff you and take you in against your will to jail. You know, dude, the shoe needs to be on every foot if it's going to be on any foot. That's all I got to say.
Right.
And on that note, I think it's about time we had a song break. What do you reckon, Shaziz?
I reckon I'm turning my AC on.
Well
done.
Who had it? 10 points for the cricket.
Yeah, 10 points for the cricket. Anyway, we will take a song break. I'm just saying that the average Joe needs to get so much more informed than what they are, because we don't even know what the heck is real on the news anymore, man. They've been caught lying so many times. And how many times are you going to be lied to before you keep voting for the same doggone guy? Some of these guys have been in there for 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, on the recording thing, you think about it. It's okay for an employer to put cameras up in their facility and watch you while you're working. Who does the government work for?
They can even...
They're supposed to be working for us, so that camera needs to be pointed at them, and we need to be able to watch it, because we are the employer, and they are the employee.
Exactly, exactly. And in what world did that get forgotten?
They can read...
Exactly.
They can read your email and listen to your phone calls, because you could possibly be a threat. You could possibly
or
be a terrorist.
Cameras in, yeah, or
however,
cameras in your house, tap your phone.
However.
But you tried that on them. Oh, man.
If there's signs.
You're a traitor.
If there's signs of corruption and you need their emails for evidence to take this to court to get this resolved, then suddenly the emails are gone.
Oops.
Oh, we lost 10 hard drives, really?
We don't know who did that, and we're not going to do anything about it either, by the way. Oops.
Yeah, it's like that one, that campaign slogan that says, "Know your place, shut your face."
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing worse than politicians and the people who were basically pulling up details on corruption in the government saying, oops, the only place you hear oops that would be worse is whenever you, if you're having surgery, dude.
Well, you know what really worries me the most is the guy, the corruptor-in-chief that's up there has his finger on the button. And if his oops happens, he's got it made. He'll just blame it on the terrorist. Oh, look, a terrorist pushed that button.
Well, and hide deep underground in a facility no one else could actually afford to build.
And there's another thing right there before we go to song break. I got a rant on this one because that bothers me all the heck. These guys have multi-billion dollar freaking bunkers that they have stocked to the rim with years worth of supplies so that they can keep continuity of government while the average Joe is out there in their stick house and is going to get whacked. Something's really wrong with that. There are some nations out there that actually care about their citizens enough to make bunkers for everybody, okay? The government should be going around to everybody, offering them an opportunity. Do you want a bomb shelter made on your property because there's a potential of we might have a nuclear war, and so we're going to fix you up? That's not the way it goes. It's only the guy who's up there at the top, it's everyone who got a lot of money already in their pocket. The average Joe can't spend $1 million to build them a bunker. The average Joe doesn't count in the eyes of the global elite. And this is where the problem lies. So let's take a sound break. I'm gonna put on Deep Purple, Perfect Strangers, because none of y'all are supposed to know each other or talk to each other or communicate. None of y'all are supposed to. There's no... You don't talk to cultists while this is going on, all right? Don't talk to nobody. We got to keep total control of this. King Shaziz the Terrible is ruling with an iron fist. And while you guys are in the chat room, don't be communicating on this break, all right? You got to be perfect strangers. You can't know each other. We can't have you talking because you could be a potential terrorist.
We'll be right back.
Yes, officer?
Hey, collected 40 miles an hour back there. You know what the speed limit is, y'all?
Well, according to that sign right there, it's 40 miles an hour.
Step out of the car, please, sir.
Wait a second. Aren't you Stan's little friend?
Sir, step out of the car, please.
Yeah, you're the one who always plugs up the toilet at our house.
I am a cop, and you will respect my authority.
Yeah, right. You better get back to school, little boy.
Ow!
Get your ass in jail!
Ow! Hey, what the hell are you doing? You can't do that! Ow! 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 Ow!
It's worth it. With Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain. I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant truck with a couple of monks who are utterly stuck. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The difference between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please, Earl Grey.
Yes please,
Earl Grey.
Yes please.
When I say Assam, you say lovely Assam.
Lovely
Assam.
Lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. Oh, we're gone
on wrong, yeah.
I've been around the world in 80 brews to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by angels do. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swing amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a bag knitted by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal. Let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle. Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal.
No thanks.
Herbal.
No thanks.
No. No, I want milk in it. Strong though. Wanna see that spoon stand up.
If you're tired of tea, then you're tired of blood.
I'm madder than a hatter and it fires my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, a Sam or Ginger, Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your snorting coffee in a proper cup of coffee. Bottoms pop me loving teapot to your Ponzi rotten coffee shop. Coffee clocks nodding off, lost the plot snorting off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer on 80 cups a day. I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea or just say I'm mad. Oh, you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour, my hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, love it though. I'd sell my old grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell your grandma for a cup.
Hey, King Shazam's the turbo. All rise for King Shazam the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Could you imagine if that's the only thing that you had, your only goal in life was to go around and have a cup of coffee all with everybody you could all over the planet?
You know what, that doesn't sound like a bad idea in the big scheme of things. You know, comparatively speaking to what we currently do, which is, you know, go and steal their oil and bomb the crap out of it.
Yeah, like we were talking...
I'd much prefer it.
We were talking about we'd rather have a barbecue together than go over there and bomb each other.
Exactly. Like, I personally would. Like, I don't have any enemies in any other country. Like, you know, let's be honest, okay, I'm the fraudster assassinator of the internet when it comes to free energy. I'm sure I've got some enemies out there. But let's be realistic. I don't have an enemy in Muslims. I don't have an enemy in Irish people. I don't have an enemy in Russian people. I don't have an enemy in Egyptian people. I don't have... Why is my country supporting fighting these countries? I'm not upset at them.
Well, they're your representatives, man. They're there to represent you, brother.
No, they're not. No, they're not. They're there to drag my name through the mud.
They're there to get a lot of money. That's what they're there to get. Anyway, outside of everything that we all know about the crime, corruption, and stupidity, and lack of common sense, like I said, I'm not anti-government, I'm anti-corruption, I'm anti-stupidity, I'm anti-ignorance. And that's all I see coming out of these so-called leaders. I mean, they're fat-catting the rich, they got lots of cash, and most of that cash came from being bought off, sold, or bribed, or whatever. We got to get control, man, and the only way to get control of this situation is for every individual out there to become informed and know about what's going on. Know about where are those products that you bought at the store are coming from, and who had to make them, and how it all came to be, what was involved in that situation. Not everybody out there wants to go out and research every single thing they do, but if you want to make this world a better place, you need to know about what's going on. You need to know about that man before you pull that lever. That's all there is to it.
Stop being lazy.
Yeah,
actually,
plain and simple.
Take an active interest in what's going on around you.
Plain and simple. Stop being lazy. If you want to sit around and holler and complain, then you need to have your facts in order. I'm going to holler and complain, but I'm going to use the words that were told to me by the news media. It's obvious that MSNBC is going to have something different to say than Fox News Network. And so whichever one you watch is the words that you're going to spew out there. How do you know that what they said was even the truth to begin with? You just took your honor and your integrity and put it on the line because of blind faith towards somebody else out there who told you.
Which basically makes you.
Yeah.
A turkey.
An idiot.
Turkey guy.
Anyway, I want to try to shift gears here. Because I put a video out there that I think is really seriously worthy of talking about, and I'd like to get you guys' view on there because we are in alternative energy as well. But this particular video, I would love to have some of these little gizmos to experiment with. To me, the video is called Tractor Beam Magnet. And if this thing is actually working the way that it shows in this video and there's no trickery going on behind the scenes there, that is the perfect magnetic bearing. And man, I'll tell you what you could do with that would be mind-boggling. This thing is not pushing it away. It's keeping it locked in at a certain distance away from the magnet. And if any of you guys got a chance to see this video?
Yeah, it's great. We talk about the tractor beam magnet. Yeah, that was pretty awesome actually. He's managed to find a nice little niche point between the attraction and repulsion, keeping the secondary magnets, about half an inch away from the center. So,
well, in my view.
You're talking about where they have two dissimilar magnetic directions combined together. So basically, one you can't actually approach and touch one because it's being repelled by the other one, but you can't get away from it either. Because once you break free of the magnetic field that's repelling you, the one it's attracting then is now the stronger magnetic field.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's a couple interesting little gigs that they've got in there. So, and it would definitely help people understand how magnets really work.
Yeah,
unfortunately, that's the biggest problem with any magnet system that I've looked at is that the people just don't understand what they can't see.
As far as friction,
even putting filings on a piece of paper and holding a magnet up underneath it, you really still can't see what that magnetic field is like.
But as far as
I try to explain this, a magnetic field is like water. Just imagine a magnetic field where a water source. Where there's no gravity to interfere with it, because the magnetic field isn't really affected by gravity.
The frictionless bearing potential of this thing is amazing because, man, if you had bearings made like this to where they were just literally locked into place, you wouldn't have to worry about them flying off in one direction or the other. The potential's, in my mind, mind-boggling.
Oh, the amount of pressure you can produce with neodymium magnets, large enough, about the size basically of say like a car axle, would give you enough resistance to keep your axle and the sleeves that are holding them in place. There's enough pressure there. Basically, you can hold up an entire truck off that. So it'll certainly work for a car.
Well, there you go. And if you got frictionless bearings, man, that's. Dude, on a static motor, I would love to see this set up on a static motor because that's the biggest problem with a static motor is you need as least amount of friction as possible. And that, to me, looks like the answer right there. It'll lock it right in.
I don't think the amount of friction is going to matter much once we get things worked out to get that... Get the quantity of energy that we're wanting to pour into.
Well, I agree with you, but I'm saying what they got going on right now with the one that Cultus has got with the bearings on there. He had a little problem whenever he tried to oil the bearings one time. It actually slowed it down.
Yeah, but I shouldn't have oiled the bearings. That was a mistake.
Yeah,
was the thing. See, they're dry bearings, so a little tiny dose of graphite in there, perfect. Using oil just gunked it up. Being dry bearings, I'm not sure, maybe Thomas would know this, whether or not they actually have a powder in there to start with, whether or not that mixed with the oil, or just the oil itself was of a consistency enough to make it tacky, but
Right, I can tell you the best way to oil those. The best way to oil those is to get that liquid graphite, because the liquid itself will completely evaporate away, but it will carry the graphite into the bearing for you.
Right, yeah.
So, just don't run it until you're done, your shirt's dried out. If you've got stuff in there you don't want in there, just use some WD-40 and flush it out, because it'll dissolve the oil and wash it out.
Use medical alcohol.
Okay. Well, as long as it dissolves whatever it was that you had in there.
Yeah.
But I mean, everybody thinks that WD-40 is an oil, and it's not.
Nah.
It's just meant to displace.
It's
just
meant fish oil?
Yeah. No. It's just meant to displace water, and as a result, it also displaces a lot of oils and whatnot. So, like, you see these people oiling things with it and thinking, hey, you know, everything's great, and then a week later they come back to use whatever it is, and it falls apart, and you can't figure out why. It's because it literally washed all the oil out of it. And now it's, you know, metal on metal, and it ground itself down to where it was, you know, loose enough it could just fall apart. I mean, I've seen this happen with a lock. They spread it into a lock. 2 days later, stick the key in, turn the lock to open the door, and go to pull the key out, and the whole tumbler assembly came out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, so I mean, for cleaning, if the bearings are made of steel or some alloy that's basically oxygen resistant, like stainless, just, you know, flush it out with WD-40. You hold the bearing up so that it's flat. Pour enough WD-40 onto it that it forms a bead on top of it, and then rotate the center race, and it'll pull that oil down through and flush it out the bottom, or the WD-40, and everything that's in there, it'll flush out with it, including any dust. It'll clean all of the dust, too, and get it nice and squeaky clean.
Does anybody in our circle have the capability of duplicating that that product that guy's got there?
Which product?
The
magnet thing? The magnet tractor?
The tractor beam.
He just has that's just the one that has the cylinder and the one or two ring magnets, right?
Well,
he's got
shove the cylinder down inside.
Send him the link to the video. There's a video link right there in the chat room. And he took a piece of brass, circular piece of brass, and he drilled holes for some small magnets, and then the centerpiece for a larger magnet. And then he's got a couple other magnets that he's using to tow around with it. But either way, in my eyes, I'd love to get a hold of some of these, because these would be perfect magnetic bearings.
You can build some magnetic bearings without that much trouble. They make so many different shapes that are perfect for that. It's unbelievable. I mean, I did a little bit of research on this when I was looking at building an electric car, just because, you know, traditionally electric cars don't really have that much energy, and they run out of energy pretty quickly. So, you know, the less energy you have to expel in getting going and keeping it going, the longer you'd be able to run the car. So, you know.
Well, I think that system that he's got going on would be perfect for that.
I can see why she's this thing, it would certainly be a little bit different. You'd have to have a fiddle with one, though, to see if there's any sort of stick points or anything, because the way it's put together there, you might find that it...
It depends on how the magnets are made, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be very specific.
The magnets are not made properly. Oh, I see what you got there. Okay, you got the two disc magnets that are shoved down inside of a ring, and then there's a bunch of magnets that are... Yeah, that would actually be better as a clutch that doesn't need to actually have contact, because when you rotate that around, if you notice, it rotates with it. So you just basically embed the rods into the other side, and it'll grab and hold that each of those bearings that are down inside whatever it is you have on the other side, in between the other two magnets that are inside the little ring that's going around the actual shaft. So,
well, either way, there's a lot of these little deals like this out there, and I'd love to have some of these to experiment with. I need to get a hold of me a Slayer Exciter and atmosphere motor and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of these things like there out there that if you use these in conjunction with one another, you could literally build the energy device that I keep talking about. And I get frustrated because I wish I had the access to the tool and the skills to machine all these things as I see them and put it together, but you know, it's not the case right now. I mean, I've got a drill press, but even that drill press is not precise enough to mill it down to where it's not got some sort of wobble in it or whatever, you know. A lot of the stuff that I'm talking about doing needs to be precisionally made. you know, the seals on things so that it doesn't leak, you know, my plasma reactor made out of junk. I mean, when it had the right pressure in it, it functioned exactly like I wanted it to, but because of the way that it was made, it had leaks, and then the acrylic that I used on there, because of the thickness of all that, that I encased the thing in, it finally ended up, the energy got so powerful it cracked the doggone thing. Well, if I would have had the right seals from the get-go, I wouldn't have had to even encase it in acrylic. The only reason why I cased it in acrylic was because it was leaking like a sieve and I didn't want to catch a lightning bolt to the face. You see where I'm coming from? Damn, there's time for your cricket.
We even gave him an opportunity to use it. He was too slow.
Hey, I was doing research here, man. Trying to look for that thing. Well, you guys didn't give me the link. I was too busy basically on another page taking care of
Go to the super chat room right there, and it's right there in the chat room.
What chat room? What are you talking about?
I can't put
that page up because it'll crash my system.
Oh, well, then I don't know. Oh, doggone it.
No, I found what you're talking about. I found something I don't think you guys actually got to see, so... I mean, there's a whole list of them, man.
But either way, if they sell these...
That I posted the link in here.
If they sell these on the market, I want to buy some. I need some.
They do.
It's the same.
Grand Illusion is the company you want to go to.
Grand Illusion?
Grand Illusion, yep. It's basically just, you know, a company that sells, like, magic tricks and stuff like that. And that magnetic tractor beam is just one of those things that they have little kits you can buy. So,
well, then I need to go buy one.
We get the printer. Cultists can print that that ring up that the rods go into. Don't have to be brass. They can be made out of plastic.
You sure it doesn't have to be brass? The brass doesn't have anything to do with the magnetism?
Look at the link.
Anything non-magnetic.
We're done here today and look at it. The original design that's out there is made out of plastic. It's a black plastic with six little cylinders and then two really big discs that are sandwiched together and then shoved through the center.
All I see is YouTube videos in there.
Yep.
Showing you.
Yep.
Okay.
Between you and Shazeez, neither of you can collaborate anything when it comes to videos or chat rooms, eh?
Yeah.
During the radio show.
Second link that I sent you, though, the video that is in that channel that's on is the Grand Illusions channel.
Cool.
So they have links to their store from there.
Well, I'm fascinated to see some of the Grand Illusions they got, because there's probably some scientifically plausible things in there that could be used. You know, like this deal right here. If you can lock that magnet in a certain spot, you have a perfect bearing. You know, there could be other things out there, like the little pop boat. When I came across that, you know, there's science to that. There's science to everything. But all these things put together are the puzzle pieces that I'm telling you right now, we can build this device if we could actually get these folks together in one shed at the same time.
Well, one thing that we need to do, I think, really, is get everybody set down, bring all the ideas that we have that there's, you know, good solid evidence on, and then everybody's going to have to basically look at why they want to do what they want to do and make sure that none of it is flashbang. Make sure none of it is excitement over an appearance.
Well, I know the static motor works.
And go for the most effective solution first, because once we have a solution... so that we can stop paying all these bills that we're paying just to, you know, drive, say, for you to come down from, say, Missouri to Arkansas or something, or to go down to Texas or whatnot, so you can actually have the freedom to go ahead and go and work with other people, with, you know, no matter where they are, then we can start working on the other stuff, no matter, you know, whether it's, you know, a cool factor that's attracted us to it or not.
I know, you know, the static motor.
If we could get something that wasn't very flashy, but it would make an electric car run without you ever having to stop and get any fuel, you don't have to pay to drive there, then would that not be something you would be totally up for, so you could go visit people like
Buddy? I'm telling you, we could do it. I'm telling you 150,000%, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we have every single piece of technology, all the information that we need to literally build a car that will not only not have to stop for recharging, that will make it there. I know there's no doubt in my mind that we can do this. There's all the pieces of the puzzle are there, all the information. It's not a matter of whether we can do it or not. It's a matter of how in the heck are we going to get people together to build it. You know, all of us have funding problems. All of us have transportation issues. All of us.
All the information is there for Robert Murray Smith's battery and generator out of graphite, and it's the resources are available here. In many cases, you can get them for free. You know, I mean, you can get Bain graphite for making the graphene side of the ink that he makes from Asbury. They'll send it to you for free.
Well, I'll tell you what.
You want a sample, and they'll send you 2.5 pounds of it. You know.
We need somebody, a centralized builder, somebody who has all the tools, and then we need to what we can build, build them to spec whatever we need to build them, ship it to them, have them build it, do the video on it, prove it can be done, and then get it gone. Because we're going around in circles. It drives me insane when I see stuff like this little magnetic deal right here. I mean, I know the static motor works. I know the Wimshurst and the Van de Graaff. I know they work. I know all these different old technologies work. The mercury arc rectifier, aka plasma reactor, all this stuff is already there. We have the capability right now to build the not only the baddest generator in the history of time, but the fastest electric motor in the history of time. We can do this thing. There's guys out there that are doing all kinds of stuff, but they're all in their own little bubble, their own little world, and promoting their own little piece of the puzzle. But combine all these things together, and man, you got it. There's no reason why we can't build this. We could build a car that would literally drive from here around the globe and back, and I'm talking literally drive around the globe and back. When you get to the ocean, you just do like they did back in the James Bond movies. Your car's a boat, and you keep going. If you get to where you can't drive or float, then you fly. Vice versa.
and they have developed a flying car. Like, I mean, it's still, you know, I wouldn't trust it yet, but they have, and they've flown the thing, so why not?
There's actually a couple flying cars that are out there now. Paul Mohler definitely dropped the ball on that. He let other people scoop in and steal his thunder because they're further along than he's gotten. They just started. He's been at it for years.
That happens. Though, you know, like,
yep.
That in our own research sometimes. Look at me because of what's gone on. You know, here I am. I've got half my Atmo motor project, and everyone else is racing around me. So, you know, I mean, I can live with that though.
Most of the people out there,
progress is still being made.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's all going for the same. You know, thing, and the people who are doing the research are open sourcing it and free sourcing it, so I can live with that. You know,
most of the people out there,
stop trying to talk over me.
Most of the people out there,
so much for that iron fist.
Most of the people out there are under the grand illusion of I'm going to take my invention, I'm going to get filthy, stinking rich, I'm going to take over the world, so forth and so on. And they're also under the grand illusion that they're going to get recognition for their deal, but you've seen it a million times. You holler about it in your fraudster assassination videos that people stealing other people's ideas. And taking credit for them. I'm not talking about stealing nobody's idea. I'm talking about taking everybody's brilliant ideas and putting them all together and building something that works, because the world is supposedly in not only an energy crisis, but we supposedly have climate change / climate disruption / global warming / I gotta save the trees / I'm an idiot because all the answers are out there and nobody's even doing nothing about it. And the ones that are complaining about it aren't supporting the ones with the answers. It's insane. It's flat out insane. We have all the knowledge, all the resources, all the technologies to literally build exactly what it is that they claim that we need. We got to get off of fossil fuels is what they say. We're still drilling oil. We got clean energy. We got to get away from nuclear fuel. We got clean energy, but we're still using nuclear fuel. But you'll have people out there protesting and complaining, spending all kinds of money.
You'll worry about the fossil fuels.
Yeah, either way, there's people out there protesting fossil fuels. There's people out there protesting doggone nuclear industry, and they know the nuclear industry is so much more powerful than they are, so they could spend a couple $100,000 to go out there and send people to protest and throw paint on the wall and carry around signs of skeletons and blood, and they can do the same thing to the oil companies. Instead of focusing and wasting all your resources over there trying to fight against Goliath that you have absolutely no chance of whooping, because he's just going to send his thugs in there, give some crack smoker some pack of smokes, and then he'll come in and whack you, and they keep on going. It's business as usual.
They're getting new resources to do what they got to do. I mean, these industries aren't getting any smaller.
Yeah,
how much you protest against them, they're just getting bigger and bigger. And why? Because the world needs them.
Stop protesting.
If they remove that need, it will starve it out and it will go away. If they really want us to get off of fossil fuel, they would get on to coming up with a replacement.
Exactly. The industry doesn't want it. Replacement. Period. The industry doesn't want it. So stop protesting the industry.
So they're not going to do it.
Stop protesting the industry. Take all your energy and your resources and go over and back the alternative energy researchers, and you will get exactly what it is that you seek. If you want free, clean energy, then back your alternative energy researchers.
Let's be honest about it. Back the backyarder alternative energy.
Exactly.
Researcher. Don't go to the guy with the brick, with the really... with the exceptionally good quality videos and everything's all right and sounds and looking pretty. Look for the guy like Shaziz. Look for the guy like me, because they're the guys who are honest. And we have been honest since day one. We show all their mistakes.
By your video, it's not that hard to figure out. You don't have the video working skills to fake anything.
Exactly. I haven't got the skills to do very much like that at all.
Well, the point is...
You're lucky I can join two pieces of video together.
The point is, there's a saying out there, a brilliant mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I'm seeing a lot of waste going on because, man, I'm telling you, if just this crew right here, Larry and Thomas and myself and Cultus, if we had access to a machine shop and materials... And you wanted a device made, you put us in there.
Speak for yourself. I just need access to a shop. I've got the machines.
Well, then let everybody converge on Thomas's house and bring your tools with you. That way, whatever he don't have, we have. We're coming over, Thomas.
It's okay, Thomas. I'm in a two-bedroom apartment, so...
Well, okay, Thomas, where's the next?
We've got cheap property around here. I mean, we're looking at...
Thomas and all
2,400 square foot industrial building.
Where is the nearest...
$700 a month,
Where is the nearest Roach Motel to your general vicinity? Because that's all we can afford.
No, well, as Thomas was just saying, he was looking during the last couple of weeks at commercial properties, There was one there, fairly large. What was the size you just quoted?
It's gone now, but it was in Joplin, and it was 7,000 square feet for $1,000 a month.
Right, so...
Well, save your $1,000 a month. Take that $1,000 a month and build you one on my property. You got my permission. Build you a big old building out there. Yeah. And we'll start building stuff. I'm telling you, I know this is possible, and we could keep our network going and keep dragging more brilliant minds involved in this thing and just start building these cars that we're talking about. I built my Electron out of junk. All right, that was a 1976 Suzuki, all electric. I built it completely out of junk. And everything about recharging that thing is 100% possible. I need a precise version of that, a lighter weight body on it, because the thing, it weighs a freaking ton. And so, you know, it's not going to work the way I want it to work because it's too doggone heavy. And the drag on the one of the wheels wobbles on the thing. The chain and the sprocket are not precise, and so there's a wobble in that. You know, all the clanks and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to get one of those Zeros, those all-electric bikes out there that are already made lightweight and precision, change a bit about the battery technology that thing uses and put some more charging devices on there and make that thing do exactly what it is we're talking about.
Yeah, it's not.
I was actually looking at the Prius and a couple other hybrid cars that are, they say hybrid, but really what it is it's a hybrid charging system because it's actually an electric car most of the time that has a gas-powered generator. So when you start running low on power, the gas-powered generator kicks on and spit some power into the batteries to keep it charged up.
Well, even that's better than what they're. Like I said, I keep going back to this. Stop protesting about the oil companies and go. If you're going to go for anything, at least go for the hybrid. I mean, you're still supporting the fuel industry when you could go for broke and actually build a doggone car. I know it can be done. I mean, we got the technology right there in front of our very eyes, and that's just why I keep saying about I'm impressed with the static motor, the Corona motor, the Van de Graaff, and the Wimsurf, because I know just by looking at that atmosphere motor that Coltis got, you can get work with voltage alone. You don't need all the amps and watts and currents, and so therefore you don't have to build an inefficient system. You can juice that puppy up from the get-go and have surplus energy for that thing. It's all about how you're going to move that energy from point A to point B, which is going to make the difference in how that thing functions. It's as simple as that. You know, if you're going to go with a regular washing machine, then you need the 60 hertz coming out the wall, or 50, wherever you're at. That's what you need to run that turn. You know, if you want to run it more efficient, build it more efficient from the get-go. You could modify every single thing in your house, every single appliance you got, including your freezer, your washing machine, all that, to run off of less energy than what it does. But you don't have the skills and the knowledge to do so, and the mainstream industry isn't going to do it for you because there's not any money in making it like that.
Exactly, and it has been designed to basically back us into a corner because we know that energy is up there in the sky, what we're developing with the Atmo motor. We know that the energy is there. We know it can do useful work with very, very little effort from ourselves. But to plug that into your fridge, to plug that into your TV, to plug that into any manufactured device today, nah, it's not going to work. Yet they started out back in the very early, not 1900s, late 1800s, knowing that energy was up there, and instead they decided to take a different route, you know?
Yeah.
That energy messed
with them.
They
couldn't charge for the other energy.
Exactly. You could charge for the other energy, whereas if it was commonplace knowledge that all you needed to do was send a wire up into the sky and you could power your house, then no one would be paying for electricity because everybody would run a wire up into the sky off their own house and say, well, stuff it, I'm not paying you to run a wire up for me. Well, I'll run my own, thank you.
You hit a key, Coltis. There's nobody on this planet who will not argue with you that if you get struck by a bolt of lightning, it has the potential of blowing you off the map. All right?
Yep.
Tesla showed everybody how to harness lightning, but did they pay attention? No. You know, some of us did. But either way, if you can harness lightning itself, there's so much potential energy in one single bolt of lightning, it's just flat out ludicrous. You don't need all the amps, current, and watts until you get to a certain stage to where you're going to literally be trying to run the inefficient appliances that you do, and capacitor banks fall in that category to take that electricity, that super high voltage, and transfer it over to a usable current that you can have all the push power that you need to run the turd that you call your refrigerator. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I most certainly do, mate. That's, you know, and basically when we look at this system, you know, we're looking at a lightning bolt contains, you know, say 10 million volts, and I'm being very realistic here. People can go and do their homework, and I dare anyone to disprove what I'm about to say. We're talking like 30,000 amps.
Yeah, that's
okay, so 10 million volts at 30,000 amps. I don't care, man. You've just powered New York for a month.
It'll blow you off the map. Go out there and shake hands with a lightning bolt. A real natural lightning bolt. Go shake hands with one. Hey, how you doing, brother? Kapow!
How many bolts of lightning happen around the globe every, you know, every hour? I'm not even going to say every day. Every hour. Hundreds and thousands of them.
Yep, we got enough lightning going around. This Earth is an electromagnetic generator of epic proportions. It's a layered system that builds up a static charge, and it has to discharge somewhere. And so, if you
guys
are
in the right spot too, guys are in the right spot. This is something I noticed when I was over in Indiana. Okay, the lightning shows that you guys have in your skies when you guys have a lightning storm is completely different to what we have here in Australia. Okay, and that is why Tesla picked that region. Okay, I guess he went a little bit further east, right, as he was over there in Long Island. But effectively, that's the right area to be. All right, when you have a lightning storm, there is lightning going off, doubling over itself. Let alone trying to say that there's a lightning strike every 3 seconds. It was just lightning blanketing the sky, like covering itself. Like there was not a break in lightning strikes. Yet here in Australia, we sit here and we wait for 10, 20, 30, couple of minutes, waiting for the next lightning strike to happen. You know, we'd be amused by it.
Well, you know what?
Not there.
There's a message that just came in the chat room. Anonymous. Anyway, that's the name on her. A 6.1 magnitude earthquake in America, in American Canyon area, North San Francisco Bay area. Pipeline gas and water broken. A lot of fires, I heard. And tell whatever. Hearsay. Anyway. I know there was a massive earthquake over 6 point something over there in California, and you know there's proof positive. Look, you don't know when the doggone disaster is happening. Our time's a ticking, as far as I'm concerned, before you know the crappy power grid goes down. And so, if everybody out there is really seriously concerned about alternative energy and ways to get off the grid, you're running out of time to do research. You need to start downloading the heck out of everything under the sun to get information in your pocket so you'll have it for just such an emergency. You know, if you're worried about global warming / climate change / climate disruption / the tooth fairy just smoked some crack with the Easter bunny, then doggone it, get off your butt and get out there and start backing the people out there in the backyards who are doing backyard science and actually showing you things that really do work. It's as simple as that. Common sense dictates you don't wait till your house is burning down before you go out and buy a fire extinguisher. Idiot.
Sadly, though, that is very, very true, isn't it? I mean, you know, it is like the world is waiting for us to have an actual energy epidemic.
Well, that makes about...
Before they worry about it, they're just like, you know, it's all right, you know, they'll come up with something else. I don't have to worry, blah, blah, blah. Yes, you do. You have to be worried. You have to be, you know, conscious that eventually, you know, peak oil is an issue, that, you know, reduction is less than usage, that we are going to run ourselves out. We need, and not only, like, just to... Go right beyond even the production side of things, what we're doing to the planet, you know?
Well, if folks care about the planet, then they need to put up or shut up. Stop protesting and throwing red paint on walls and stuff like that at the oil companies and the power companies. You know, blood money or whatever. Take your doggone energy and resources. Walk away from that system and support a system that will work. You know, to me, common sense went out the window with the invention of the pogo sticks and or brass knuckles. They even got it in a video game. You can jump around on a pogo stick punching people in the face with brass knuckles.
Well,
we got a lot of...
That's the world we live in today, and this is why we can't have nice things, people.
Yeah.
Okay?
But, look, there's wars out there, and 99.9% of all wars are fought for what? Can I hear something here? What are wars fought for? Resources, man. resources.
To steal something.
Yeah, to steal something.
To steal. Well said, Larry. To steal. Yep. To go into a country that you don't belong, manhandle that country and say, oh, I'm just going to take this because, well, I'm bigger and better than you. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, if they're going to only accept gold, you got to go in there and mop them so that they get back on the dollar. And it's not just America. For Pete's sake, you know doggone good and well Britain's got their fingers in it, Russia's got their fingers in it, China's got their fingers in it, all the major powers of the world got their fingers in it, and you, the average Joe, sitting on your couch watching Dancing with the Stars, swinging around your big booty with your hula hoop and jumping up and down on the pogo stick, swinging brass knuckles at your second cousin or whatever, you guys are the problem. Because you're not doing anything productive for this whole issue outside of complaining, oh, my government's corrupt. Yeah, your government's corrupt, so get up off the couch, do some research.
But what did you do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the question. What did you do about it? Did you do a solitary thing about it? Did you write one letter? Did you, you know, attempt to try and change something in your own vicinity? Did that even become a comprehensible fact that you should try to do something? Or did you just think that sitting on your couch, you know, looking at the TV with...
whinging on about it.
You know, when Obama gets on there and throwing a dirty pair of socks at him, going, oh, look at that bastard, I hate him.
Yeah, Ferguson, Missouri, prime example of what not to do. Okay, the cop goes out, supposedly shoots this guy in cold blood. It was all innocent. He was such a loving guy, even though he just got through strong-arm robbering somebody, you know. Regardless, all the facts, forget all that stuff. The cop shot the guy. All right, so, okay, he shot the guy. So what happens? The community riots, goes out, burns down their own freaking town, steals, robs, rapes, loots, pillages, shoots each other, protests, did all this kind of stuff, instead of focusing their actual frustration and protest towards the ones who they felt were the ones who did the deed, like go stand in front of the police station and say, oh, yo, hell no, we're not going to take it, and talk to them about it. No, you went out, you mugged your neighbors. You robbed and raped the stores out there. You burnt down your own doggone neighborhood. And now, about 2 or 3, maybe 6 months down the line, you're going to be pissing and moaning because you can't get a job. If I was a company owner, I wouldn't hire you. I would take my company first time you burnt my company down to a town that would respect my company enough to not burn it down. So... if you want to make things right, the last thing you're going to do is go out and burn down your own damn community and try to blame it on somebody else. Well, I wouldn't have done that if they hadn't made me mad. Yeah. Really? Come on.
Yep. No, that's very true, mate.
You know, that's what that's what goes on. I always told my children, as I'm raising my children up, because they would get in fights with each other. And then they would retaliate. They'd go, one kid would hit the other kid, and the other kid would go over and hit the other kid. And then they'd come crying and moaning each other. And yep. I told them, instead of hitting that kid, you should come to me first and tell me what that kid just done. That way I can talk to that kid and get that kid in line. Instead, you took it upon yourself that you got hit, so you retaliated. You hit him. And so
now you're in trouble.
This kid is responsible for this kid's actions. That kid's responsible for his own actions. She's responsible for her own actions and vice versa. So what you choose to do when somebody makes you mad is your own personal decision.
That's
you can't
right.
blame
you
it on anybody
put that
else.
Onto anyone else. You can't put that back onto anyone else but yourself. What you mentally choose to do is your own fruition. You can't turn around and say, oh, but he made me do it. No, he didn't make you do it.
He didn't make you do it.
Did he hold the gun to your head? Even if he did, you still chose that you had to do it. Like, no, you choose what you do at the end of every day.
If you look down at your hands and you close your fist, those are attached to your arms, which are attached to your body, which are run by your brain. You do what you do with your fist because you chose to do so. And so that's the way it goes.
Yep.
And I'm trying to make our world a better place. In the meantime, we need to take another song break, get some coffee and that kind of stuff, and come back and do the last hour of this show. But folks out there, look, you ain't going to make this world better by going out protesting, and you ain't going to make this world better by burning down your own communities. If you want to make this world better, you're going to make this world better by getting educated. You're going to make this world better by leading by example. If you think that your idea is the best idea, live that idea, show that idea's functionality and that it does work and it's true to what you said, and people are more apt to follow. If you're going to hire somebody to be your representative, aka police officer, judge, attorney, or whatever, know that man's track record before you pull that lever, because once you let go of that bullet, there's no way to pull it back. When we get into World War III, it's a done deal. Ain't no way to stop World War III once we get into World War III. If you want to avert World War III, if you want to avert catastrophes, if you want your neighborhoods and your communities to be good communities and wonderful places for your children to be raised up in, then set a good example for them and start helping your neighbor instead of hurting your neighbor.
Exactly.
It's plain and simple as that. So, everybody stay tuned. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love.
Hoping that mankind will stop abusing her. Some free breath with you. Ooh, you're the only one who really knew me at all. How can you just walk away from me when all I can do is watch you leave? Cause we shared the laughter and the pain, and even shared the tears. You're the only one who really knew me at all. So take a look at me now. There's just an empty space. There's nothing left here to remind me, just the memory of your face. Take a look at me now. There's just an empty space. And you coming back to me is against the odds. That's what I've got to face. The snake turn around, turn around and see me cry. There's so much I need to say to you, so many reasons why. You're the only one who really knew me and I. Take a look at me now. There's just an empty space. Nothing left here to remind me, just a memory of your face. Take a look at me now. It's just an empty space. But to wait for you is all I can do, and that's what I've got to face. Take a look at me now. I still be standing here. Yes, we are. It's a chance I've got to take. Take a look at me now.
We'll be right back.
the turbo. Always looking to fill the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We got old King Shaziz, the Terrible, and the Honorable Knight sitting around here. I liken the people of the world, the majority of the people of the world, to a scene out of Ma and Pa Kettle, an old movie from way back when. Ma's all upset about something. She comes out and talks to Pa, and he's sitting there, and she goes in, she slams the door, and the door falls completely off the hinges, and he looks over there at the door, and he says, I'm going to have to go borrow a hammer and a nail and fix that one of these days. Well, you know, you can't wait around for the entire world to collapse around you, just like you can't wait around for your house to collapse around you. If you start seeing something that's broken, you need to fix it right out of the gate, because eventually it gets so broken, it's better off just to tear the whole house down and start over fresh. Now, am I saying we need to tear the whole world down and start over fresh? No, but if it happened overnight, if there was some sort of mass calamity overnight where the world pretty much got destroyed, the power grid went down, I honestly think that we could probably be better off, because now people would actually have to pay attention to what's going on around them and have to get back up and start building the world again. Do I want to see that happen? No, because I know in the process of that it's going to be very painful. But in the meantime, you know, don't wait around for the first calamity or the next calamity or whatever, sitting around talking about the doomsday, because when it does come, it ain't going to come with a warning label or even advance notice. Not going to send you a text and say, hey, doomsday's tomorrow, go to the store and get everything you need. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen instantaneously, overnight, in the middle of the day, at the worst possible time in the world. And then all heck is going to break loose, and are you going to be smart enough or prepared enough or whatever in order to be able to get your family safely through the other side? That's the question. That's where the whole doomsday prepper whole thing came from the get-go. People wanted to make sure that if everything went bad, that their family would be fine. Why can't we do that with the world? What are your guys' thoughts on the matter?
And my grandmother used to have a saying. It was a stitch in time saves nine, you know, and that basically means, you know, if you have a thread come loose on your shirt or whatever, you know, and you fix it up immediately, you're going to save yourself from doing nine stitches, or effectively, you know, losing the whole hem and ruining your shirt.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what we're talking about. You know, the world is in need of help at the moment. It's got a couple of broken stitches, and it's got a lot more than a bloody couple, but it's got a couple of broken stitches, you know, and it's better we get in there now and sew them up, fix the problem before it tears down the side and we end up with, you know, a great big gaping gash in the side.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's no time like the present. It's broken, and it's time for people to get out there and do some fixing. And the average Joe is part of the machine that's actually going to be able to fix this. You think that you look out there in the world and it's so messed up, there's nothing I can do about it. What can I do? Well, you can do something as simple as helping your neighbor out instead of calling the law on them, you know? The neighbor comes up, you look at the neighbor's grass, the neighbor's grass is too tall, you decide you're going to call the law instead of going over there and try to work it out with them, and for some reason, the neighbor comes out with his remote control in his hand, waving it to the cop, and the cop automatically looks and thinks maybe it's a weapon of some sort and blows your neighbor away. You might be happy about that, because you may not have liked your neighbor to begin with, but you just killed that man. You could have helped him out. There's the difference. Something
exactly.
Simple.
You know, go knock on his door and say, hey, mate, I know that the lawn's getting a little bit long. I really don't mean to offend or anything, but are you in good health? Like, you know, is there anything wrong? Is your lawnmower broken? Can I help you fix it? You know, be constructive.
Yeah.
Go in there and try to help. Don't hinder. Don't be a bloody nuisance and make their life harder, you know. As the old saying goes, you never know, or you can never pretend to understand how a person ended up where they are today. So be kind.
Yep, and then therein lies another thing as well, is that while
you're out there complaining about your neighbor and complaining to your local town council. Your local town council don't care about all this stuff. They'll add another regulation. They'll add another rule. And before you, it's all said and done, everyone's sitting around twiddling their thumbs because it's illegal to do anything. And where does it stop? You know? How are you going to get any kind of improvement in your community if you put so many regulations on an individual that they can't even go out and start their own private business to, you know, maybe potentially hire somebody else? The only ones out there making out like bandits are the guys who are already established in media, radio, any kind of business, corporation or company or whatever. But if you, the average Joe, want to go to start you a tow service or whatever, you've got to jump through all kinds of hoops, pay all kinds of taxes, fees, and everything under the sun. The average Joe don't have that kind of finances, and they know that. So the big tow service companies, they make out like bandits because nobody else can legally go tow any vehicles because they don't have the insurance. They don't have all the fine equipment and all that kind of stuff. So you, the average Joe, are screwing yourself. You're not just making it hard for your neighbor, but you're making it hard for yourself because all those rules and regulations that you just helped get in place, you have to abide by.
Right on the behind.
Yeah, they're going to come back to bite you. And then there might be something that you got that is against somebody else's regulation. So you're regulating yourself beyond the point of slavery. I mean, you already paid servitude, paid slaves, but you're regulating your what freedoms you do have, you're regulating them right out of existence. These guys at the top don't care because they are above the law, and if you think that they are not above the law, pay attention once in a while. They just said that the Pentagon broke the law. All right, they come out and said they broke the law. If it was you breaking the law, where would you be? You would be in jail. Where are they at? Oh, diplomatic immunity, or for whatever reason the government's immune, you can't, they can't be prosecuted. But if it was you doing it, you think they wouldn't jump on your neck in a hurry? Boy, they'd be on you so fast it'd make your head spin.
Yep, it's just like an intro there where it's explaining the way that King Arthur came into being power, isn't it?
Yeah.
He just decided he'd start telling this great big whopper of a story that some spirit gave him a sword and said, hey, you're going to be King Arthur, you're going to rule the country. Well, you know, hey, someone want to buy me a sword, I'm going to try that. Let's see where I end up. It's like, guarantee you, I'm going to end up in a straitjacket, medicated, bottom depths of some psychiatric facility, never ever to be seen again.
Well, if you're running around with a sword, you might end up in a grave. You
know? Well, that too.
Yeah.
Let's just put that one aside.
But
the reality of it is that this day and age you would be classified as insane.
People think that corporations and companies and governments out there care about them because they do all these nice things. The only time a company or a corporation cares about you is for public relations purposes. Whenever they look out at the public, how is the public perceiving my company? And they want their company to be perceived in a good light. So they'll go out and do a few charity events here and there. Is that hurting their financial situation? No, that's helping them. The more they help people out, the better they look. But what are they doing behind the scenes when they're not helping people out? Go down to Mexico and drink some of the water down there next to these factories that they're going down there and basically just terrorizing these folks down there. And then ask the question, again, why are those folks trying to cross our borders over here? Maybe because our medical system over here is probably better than what they have to contend with down there. Maybe our water supply isn't as filthy as what they have to contend with down there. Maybe they can come over here and get a job and live in a decent house, whereas in their own portion of the world, which they would love to have Mexico be a place where we wanted to come across their border. But when there's gunshots going off, people being beheaded and murdered and robbed and raped and looted and pillaged, I'd leave that country too. You know? And here we go. We got to keep our borders secure, but we need to make some sort of safe zone in the middle, because right now there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's people fleeing for their lives. Make a safe zone where they can get in a safe zone, have our military on the other side there to keep anybody from bringing harm to those individuals while they go through the legal process of becoming citizens as everybody else. My friend Cultus from Australia, man, just to try to get him to become a citizen over here, he had got to jump through all kinds of hoops, pay all kinds of money. Meanwhile, somebody else is climbing over or under the fence, floating across the river, and they're coming in. They're okay. Amnesty. What about my buddy Cultus from Australia? He's just as good as individual as anybody else on this planet. What about him? The common sense of the whole damn deal, it just drives me freaking bonkers.
Yep, if you're willing to do things illegally, you're generally left alone. Which, you know, sounds a little bit crazy, but it's actually fact. Like, you look into it, you look into the things that people get away with in this world, you know? I mean,
and do the corporations care? Do the corporations care about you, Cultus? Heck no, you're Australian, man.
Why would they care about me? You know, and especially considering the kind of research we do and all the rest of it, I don't think they would want to support me.
They don't care about us, but they do have some. We do have something they do care about. The problem is we have too little of it. Mm. It's that money that's in your pocket. They care about that money.
Uh-oh, we dropped our call again. We have to wait for them to get back. But while he's talking, he was talking a good point. They care about your money. That's what they care about. As long as you keep using that monopoly money and keep shifting it around, they keep getting wealthier and wealthier. You guys back? We lost your call. Go ahead, Thomas.
Oh, I was just saying that, they care about the money that's in your pocket, but the amount of money that you have, even if you're a pretty well-off person making, say, $100,000 a year, is, you know, their concern about your money is about as much concern as the average person who's dying of thirst cares about a drop of water in the ocean.
Well, yeah, because all they need for you to do is keep fighting amongst each other, keep breaking stuff, because they can keep selling you new stuff, and keep on using the monopoly money so that they can keep on gaining interest on the funny money that's going around.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying, is why is there so much money that it's comparable, what you have in your pocket, to the ocean? A drop of water in the ocean.
Yeah.
Who keeps making all this funny money? Why are we letting them continue making it? Why are we not putting any regulations? We want to see how much money you're making. Oh, we can't do business properly if you're busy looking and seeing what we're doing.
Go to the Federal Reserve and tell them you want your share of the gold and silver. Go to the government and tell them you want your share of the national treasure.
You show up with your dollar bills and say, I want my gold for this. They're just going to laugh at you and say, hey, that went out with Nixon, man. He said that's not backed by that anymore. We don't have to do that.
And just because we're starting to come close to the end of the show, I just think I'll interject here real quick and point out we've been joined by Sir Knight Remy, all the way from the top end of Australia.
How you doing there, brother?
I'm kicking along, you know, one day at a time.
Well, how's your law study going? You still doing that?
No, I'm too preoccupied here. Our government's, you know, tyrannical and introducing all sorts of legislation and changes, so I'm just busy, you know, fighting on that front, trying to wake some people up, but, you know.
That's pretty much the boat we're all in, you know?
Yeah, well, that's it. We've all got our talents and our fields and our skill sets, and we all use them accordingly and usually to do good. But we're not perfect by any means.
Well, I think
we're a bit crazy at the moment, though, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, and that's all the more reason why everybody should be on their toes, man. I mean, get off the couch and get up and pay attention to what's going on. Because I'll tell you what, there's something coming that ain't good, and Planet X would be a blessing. If Planet X blasted the planet, that'd be a blessing, man, compared to what's going on in this world. These corrupt guys...
You mean compared to the living nightmare we have going on?
Yeah!
Hell on it. I mean, literally, the beheading of children and then putting them on stakes and then sticking them in town centers. That's sort of stuff that was like in Sodom and Gomorrah back in the old days, you know?
And people say there ain't no evil in this world, man. If you can't see evil in this world, you're blind.
Yeah, you walk around with your eyes ripped out of your head.
You put your head far somewhere. That's just the
one. That's the one, Remy.
But who was it that said that, things get done when, I can't even remember the phrase, but essentially if the good people don't stand up, then the bad people get by with whatever it is
evil
they want to do.
Evil prevails when good men stand by and do nothing.
Yeah, that's the one. That's
the one. One.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you have a look at the world, that's sort of definitely happening, and the atrocities are speeding up. And I mean, every time I look at the internet or something on the brain fog of vision, it's always horribleness. It's always beheadings or deaths or planes being shot out of the sky or disappearing or earthquakes or volcanoes. It's like, oh my goodness,
well,
what's going on?
In my religion, my spiritual journey, my book tells me there'll be wars and rumors of wars, plagues, pestilence, famine. And so in my view, if there's ever was a time in history to get right with the good Lord himself, now would be the time to do it, because it's here. It ain't coming, it's here, period.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, nobody's promised tomorrow, but everybody walks around as if they are.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I mentioned this a while back. I don't remember if it was a comment in the video or what, because I mentioned a lot of stuff. But most folks don't want to even think about anything. They don't do nothing unless it's right directly in their face and directly affecting them. It's out of sight, out of mind. And that is the mindset we got to get people away from, because your brother down the street, He's in danger. His government's stealing his property. You need to go stand up for that man. Or that child over there in the other country that needs some food, you need to get some food to him somehow, some way.
Well, that's it. I mean, everybody's like, oh, well, why can't we do this? Why don't we change the Federal Reserve? Why doesn't the government bring in legislation? And it's like, well, pretty much because you're leaving all the decisions and the power making and all that to a bunch of corrupt, like, idiots, and then you're saying, oh, well, change it for me, and it's like, well,
you're
not going to.
When people are standing up to make the change, everybody points out and going, oh, that'll never work, you're a conspiracy nut.
Yeah, exactly.
Bitcoin, what's that? There's nothing to that. What, there's more to that dollar bill than there is to Bitcoin?
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
If there wasn't anything to Bitcoin, then they wouldn't find it as a threat. And so when you start seeing Bitcoin get attacked, then you know that there's something to Bitcoin, because...
Or regulated.
Yeah.
You know, regulated as they're pushing for right now in New York City, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a big, big step in the wrong direction for Bitcoin. But Bitcoin, it became commercialized, so...
The thing is, though, every time they do something like this, they look at the place that's doing it. Like whenever Spain started taxing people for collecting sunlight. Oh, well, that's just Spain. Spain's crazy. Well, when Spain got away with it, what happened? All the other countries started doing it. Now there's one here in Oklahoma. If you're collecting sunlight using solar cells, you have to pay more for using the grid than the guy who's not collecting sunlight.
It
destroys the whole point of even going out and buying the solar cell.
Yeah, I mean, that's your infrastructure,
that's
your
energy. Which is the real why they did it. They don't want you to get off of the necessity to use their power.
They need you to be dependent.
Yes. Exactly. Well, I mean, if you look at the end goal, it is like the destruction of the Earth, in a sense, in every capacity. I mean, it's madness, because, and that's exactly what it is, madness, because to keep doing this at the rate that the ice is decreasing everywhere in the world, and it's not just surface ice, this is just ice in general, this is surface ice and the actual ice mass in general is shrinking dramatically. They say by about 2025, we'll be not experiencing very much ice sheets at all, if anything, because they're already only about 3 feet thick.
Where I am here in the centre of Australia, I'll probably turn back into an ocean. A few million years ago.
You're probably not wrong, Coulthus. I reckon it will.
Yeah. It's not uncommon to walk around out here and find seashells, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's point in fact that this was an ocean out here. Now, if the sea... That for one proves that at one stage there was either more water or less ice on this planet, Right, now, it wasn't...
Or that landmass was not as high in the air.
All right, so with all that said, let's throw something common sense in there. And that's a filthy word these days, common sense. We got to ban that word.
It's too sad to me.
All right.
Common sense.
Yeah, common sense. Let's throw some common sense. While you're standing on dry ground and have access to resources, why don't you build your house in such a manner that if it does flood, your house floats? If the wind blows, your house doesn't fall over. Why? Because if you do...
I'm renting, so I think my landlord might be a little angry.
If you do...
Just get some expander foam, mate. Just start spraying it under there, mate.
If you do, which chances are you can't because financially your slave wages aren't going to afford you that option... But if you do, then they can't sell you no more houses. They can't sell you no... If your house lasts for 100 years, they can't sell you nothing to fix it. You see what I'm saying?
If you're prepared for all these events, then they can't sell you any insurance either.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Who needs insurance when your house is indestructible?
In all honesty, if the world keeps going the way it is, I don't love this world enough to want to stay in it, but I'm not going to end my life or anything, but... I definitely don't love this world that we live in.
If a UFO's come by, man, I'm getting on it.
I've got my thumb out, you know. I'm like waiting.
If a UFO comes by, Remy, I'm getting on it.
And we're
just saying.
Swing by my house.
Don't find my place before you get out.
So what Cultus is saying is that if a UFO comes along and there's only one passenger spot in it, he's going to trip you and get on first.
Now I have a lot more integrity than that. I'm going to let him get on that.
Yeah,
I'm stay behind.
So you're not the guy that whenever you're having trouble with a cramp in your leg, you won't trip the guy next to you while you're running from zombies, huh?
No, mate. No. I'll stand there and get ate, damn it.
Yeah, me too.
So you're gonna go find out how the other side lives, huh? Yeah,
man.
Yeah, I don't know. Chivalry is like, you know, the rules of chivalry are almost entirely about combat. There's only a few little lines in there about how to treat other people in decency.
Try opening the door for the ladies, and when you get done opening the door for the ladies, not slamming the door in some dude's face and picking a fight. Wait a second, there's that common sense again.
But it didn't open the door for the woman. The woman said chivalry is dead, so he challenged her to a duel and stabbed her with a sword.
The one that irks me is when you hold the door open and they say, I could have done that for myself, thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was mighty nice.
Okay.
Well, anyway, guys, you know what? I need to go soak my mouth out because I've talked about too much common sense. I'm a foul mouth heathen.
Don't forget that bar of lye soap. Make sure you get the bar of lye soap.
That's nasty, man. I'm gonna make sure you guys ain't my doctor during the doomsday apocalypse.
What are you talking about, mate? I got a sock darning needle. I can stitch you up.
Anyway, I want to start wrapping this up because I got a long song that I want to play that has to do with single thing that we're talking about. And if you actually listen to the lyrics of the deal, it speaks volumes for the world we live in. So everybody want to go around the chat table real quick and make it snappy?
Yeah, no worries. We'll start with you, Tom. Go.
I was going to say, we need to get on that thing that we talked about yesterday. Reality TV show / facility for research, man, you know.
Yep.
They'll get some enjoyment like they enjoy sitting and watching in front of the television. Mm-hmm. That'll be, you know, advertisement free, and as a result of our research, they'll also be able to, you know, start saving some money on their fuel bills and everything else from the stuff that we put out.
Well, so, reach out with your connections.
We need to put that together and get that up on the page.
Everybody reach out to their connections and promote it.
That's right.
All right, who's next?
Remy.
We'll have something up shortly. We've got Mad Science Happy Hour coming up later this evening. We should make that our primary focus to sit down and discuss that with callers. So
yeah, and bring your earplugs.
And make it a public call. So anybody that's got a Google Plus account, they can come in and discuss things, you know.
Bring your earplugs. There's a foul-mouthed heathen on board. Remy?
I'm not that bad. Go, Remy.
Everybody just be safe and well from Australia.
All right, it's good having you here, brother.
Down to me. Alrighty, so as per normal, boys and girls, come and see me during the week at cultus.weebly.com. So that's KULTUS.WEEBLY.com. And over there you find links to everything from shazizradio.com to all of our YouTube channels. A lot of our research is documented there. A whole box of dice, so make sure you have a look at that website. Be kind to your fellow human beings, alright? Doesn't matter what your problem is, alright? Doesn't matter how you feel less worthy or how you feel, you know, trapped or anything along those lines. They're your own personal deals. You need to work through your own demons. You can't take it out on other people, so, you know?
Yep.
Like I said before, you cannot pretend to understand how a person got to where they are today, so be kind.
Everyone, right, including you, is responsible for their own actions, so you
dead
take
set,
that
mate,
to the bank. Anyway, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and I'm going to play us up out of here with a tune, and I hope everybody will listen really close to the lyrics of this tune, because, you know, you got to keep your eyes peeled, especially in the day and age. And in my view, you know, it's time to get right with whoever you claim to be God, and, you know, start getting this world working, because the path that we're on right now is sure destruction, and in my belief, it's by design. And so with that said, you're running out of time. You better start downloading some information, get your stuff in gear, get your life in order, and start leading by example. Get up off the couch, because that couch is going to have to be a comfortable one if you're going to have to sit through it on during the doomsday apocalypse, so to speak. So,
hey, if you're downloading, like you said, if you're downloading some information, make sure you print off a hard copy of anything really important. You
exactly.
Know, how to stitch up a wound, CPR, stuff like that. Get that all out in hard copy if you don't have it.
Don't take it.
As I like to always say, guys, it's just best to, you know, read it and learn it and keep it in your head, because nobody can take that away from you. You can't lose it, you know. Any of those things. I mean, there's only so much you can remember, but just cram, you know, guys, cram it in.
One day you might walk over there and turn the switch on the light switch, and the lights may not come on, and they may never come back up. So, hey, what you know now is what you're going to know then, just like Remy said. So peace and love, everybody. Listen really closely to the lyrics of this song. I know it's a controversial band, especially me being a Christian playing this particular band, but listen to the words, because especially at the end, it speaks a lot of volume. Take care, everybody. You've been listening to Knights of the Round Table.
man. Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
When knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines to call a scene to put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Favor the table and the knights of the round table.